morning. Good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in October. It is World Communion Sunday as Christians around the world gather in their respective worship places and celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we will be doing that as part of our worship service today as well. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any that are visiting here today. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. While during coffee hour, there is a sign-up sheet in the hallway for greeters and coffee hour hosts. And as of a little while ago, there were still vacancies for next Sunday, October 8th, and the last Sunday of the month, the 29th. So if anyone is willing to be either a greeter or a coffee hour host at one of those dates, I invite you to sign up, please. Also during coffee hour today, the Refugee Immigration Ministry fall flower bulb order forms are available, and today is the deadline for ordering. Delivery for most of the bulbs will be next Sunday, and you can check out the order form that's near the coffee hour table. We are receiving the World Mission offering this month. October is usually our focus on world missions, and there is a little bit of information about that on the back page of the bulletin. In lieu of having an extra sheet of paper in there, we've just put it on the back page. So, and we will be watching some videos during the month as well, talking about and promoting the World Mission offering. But those gifts that support our mission work outside the United States and Puerto Rico. On October 12th and 13th, the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts is having a mission program both on Friday and Saturday called Mission Works. And if you are interested in attending, there are registration forms available. If you're interested in sharing a room, you need to see Marilyn Glover today as far as that. She does have, she's willing to share a room with someone if there is anyone interested. But you check with Marilyn for more information about Mission Works on October 12th and October 13th. That same weekend, on Sunday the 15th, we will be having a combined worship service with Casa de Fe, and they are hosting it this year, so we are going to be worshiping next door in the parish house upstairs on the second floor in Fuller Hall, and it will be bilingual, and we'll be having lunch afterwards over in this building in Judson Chapel, and hopefully you can stay for that as well. So that is in two Sundays on October 15th. At this time, I'd like to call on Mr. Michael Huddy. Michael is one of those persons that wears several different hats in our congregation, and I believe he's coming as chair of the property trustees today to give you an update.
If you were at the town hall meeting in July, you heard about a number of projects that we needed to undertake, and we wanted to do a quick update on the status of some of those projects. One of the bigger projects was the roof repair. We had gotten a bid for the roof work that was substantial, and it was approved at that meeting to do the work. The work has been done in just the nick of time. The roofer said the damage was a little worse than they had expected, and if we had been through another winter with the roof in that condition, it would have caused even more damage. So that roof repair has been completed, paid for, and is fixed, which is good. One of the other major issues was the sprinkler system. As we mentioned at that meeting, the city issued a citation for the current status of the sprinkler systems of the church. And after some back and forth with the city, we realized we had to have that work done, and the contract has been signed. So the work will be done when the contractor gets to it, but we are now, we'll be in compliance with the city, and that expense was forthcoming. The final project that we spent a lot of time on this summer as a board is the playground and the parking lot. As we know, when the daycare tenant left, beginning of July, the playground was our responsibility. We sold the playground equipment to a Baptist church in Maine. They came down in July to take the equipment, and they came back again at the end of August to take the rest of the equipment and the fence. In the meantime, while that was going on, we had to deal with the library on the issue of the property line. which had to be resurveyed. And so that has been done. And now we know the exact property line between the church and the library next door. Also, that was going on, we have the old wooden storage shed that had a lot of items in the church that we owned and didn't use anymore or needed to find homes for. So between the yard sale and giving things away and moving things around to other places, we were able to empty the shed and get that ready for removal. We have given the shed away because it wasn't worth very much. And so just yesterday, the people came to start removing the shed. And if you saw when you came in this morning, the shed really no longer exists except in pieces. And they will be removing those pieces today. All that being said, now we can finally get estimates from paving contractors on what it's going to take to remove all the remaining items in the parking lot that were part of the playground, and then to repave that area, and then to restripe it. So we are making great progress. We are very excited to have a new parking lot and more parking, and we'll keep you updated as those things happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Let's turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 667 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship by reading responsively from God's holy word. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He who has made the two one and has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. To you who were far away, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives. May we live to that aspiration of being the radiant church of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of all peoples, we come together as a family in the bond of love. Some of us are just infants in our faith journey, while others have seasoned through many years of following you. Today we gather to be fed by your word and at the communion table that you have set before us. Help us in this time of worship to set aside the things in our lives that distract us. Help us to be able in these moments to recenter our lives so that we can clearly hear you and continue to grow into the people you created us to be. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated, and students in grades kindergarten through grade 2 may now go out for Sunday school. We have an opportunity now to share our celebrations and our concerns as we go to God in prayer. We want to keep Lana Cooper in prayer, as Lana's having surgery on her eye this week. You had one already done, and hopefully this is going to be a successful. And so we want to keep Lana in prayer as she undergoes surgery this week. And we want to continue to remember Cindy Huddy, who is home and recuperating from her hip replacement surgery, and remember Chuck as well, as he's the home caregiver right now. So we want to keep both Chuck and Cindy in prayer. We thought we were having feedback from the two mics, but we weren't. Betty Hickey, Paul Patrie, May Upperman. We want to keep all of those folks in prayer that they have ongoing health issues, and just remembering them and praying for God's Spirit to be with them as well. We also want to continue to remember those who have been affected by hurricanes and the earthquakes, and just pray for those that are trying to put their lives back together, those who are waiting for supplies to arrive, those who are delivering the supplies, and others that will be coming in the coming weeks and months to help rebuild and help people get back on their feet. And also, we want to keep Bread of Life in prayer today. They are having their annual fundraiser, I believe it's at Pine Banks Park, of walking. People have signed up to as fundraisers to raise money for Bread of Life. Bread of Life is, I believe, if not the largest, one of the largest clients of the Greater Boston Food Bank, as far as the quantity of food that they get from the food bank, that they then use in their feeding program, the meal program, as well as all the pantries that they have. So we want to keep Bread of Life in prayer today as they are raising money to help with their ongoing ministry. We also do want to obviously continue to pray for our world and the political situations. And while that's not quite as much in the news right now because it's football players and their behavior that we've been hearing, it's still on the back burner. And we just want to continue to pray that there may be peaceful resolutions to those areas where there is conflict right now and tends to be a ramped up rhetoric. We just want to pray for peace in our world. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either a celebration or a concern you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer? Mark. Okay. Michael suggested that yesterday, and I thought, well, it'd be a good time to update, and hopefully within a few weeks, one other thing we are working on is we are working on the basement of the church, the rental property there. Starting this week, hopefully we're beginning to get those repairs done. I did have a nibble this week of someone that might be interested in part of it. So just as a tag on for church use property, that we are beginning to do the work that has to be done downstairs so that it's be ready for new tenants. And it looks like it's going to be multiple tenants, not one tenant. It looks like it's going to need to be multiple tenants sharing space. Dottie. So Mark and Dottie have a new neighbor who's hurting right now, and we want to pray for her. And she's scared, fearful. We want to pray for her today. Anyone else have a prayer? Peggy. Okay, Genevieve, the mom, grandma. Okay, big as we call tonight, big Genevieve. Yeah, Jim and Betty's daughter, not granddaughter. It's her birthday today, so Genevieve Boyd's birthday is today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Michael. Yes, we've been praying for Heather. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So we've been praying for Heather, obviously, for more than 2 years, and had a bone marrow transplant 2 years ago, and so far everything is working well for her, and so we're so thankful for that, and that is a celebration. Anyone else have a... Yes? So we want to pray for the nation of Cameroon, Abraham Dewani has asked over the months too for prayers as well, because there's a lot of internal violence and fighting within the country. So I mean, you know, we can't really understand that so much here in the United States, even though we have bickering going on, we don't have warfare going on. We have fighting in the streets, but it's not politicized that way so much. So we want to remember the nation of Cameroon today, as you know, they are struggling. Some type of demonstration tomorrow, so we want to pray for that. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. O God, you are a God of all peoples, and we thank you for that. And we come from a diverse backgrounds today to be in this church on this morning to worship you. We thank you for the privilege it is to be here today. We thank you for the ability to get here. Lord, we pray for those that may have wanted to be here today, but just for whatever reason, could not make it. We pray that your spirit would be with them today. We pray for those who are ill and injured, and those who are recovering from surgery, and others who are in some type of treatment, O God. And just pray for healing in their lives that's according to your will for them. We pray for those that are providing care, whether it's professional care or tender, loving care. Lord, we just pray for all of those who are caregivers today as well. Lord, we also remember those who are in mourning, that they have lost a loved one. Lord, we just pray for that they might have comfort and peace through your spirit, that the hole that they have in their hearts right now may eventually be mended somewhat, but we know that there will always be an empty spot for most folks who have lost a loved one. But Lord, we just pray that the good news of Jesus Christ, the promise and the hope that we have of eternal life, may bring comfort to those who have heard that message. And we pray, O God, that we may be empowered to share that message with others, especially those who are hurting, who need to grasp onto something in a time of feeling lost, that that we may offer hope that there is something tomorrow and that you are part of that. Lord, we pray that we may have the skills and the ability and the willingness to share our faith, however that is, through words or deeds, that others may come to see Christ through our living here on earth. Lord, we turn our prayers from ourselves, and we pray for our congregation, as we've heard that many physical things are taking place within our building and property to prepare it for more usage, that we prepare it so that more people may be able to come here and use our facilities, O God. We thank you for the rich heritage we have, and O God, we pray for the future of this congregation. We know that we look around and we see so many empty pews, O God, and we know that not everything is measured by numbers. Lord, we know that that's one measuring stick. But Lord, we also pray for your spirit to be alive among those who are here today, others who you may be calling to come and visit. We pray for your spirit to be there, and we pray that we may be ready to welcome visitors and those who are seeking and those who have strong faith but are just looking for a new church home. We pray, O God, that you would prepare us to be a church for those who are looking for a new church home. O God, we also turn to our world today, and we continue to lift up those who have been affected by the recent hurricanes and the earthquakes and tsunamis and other natural disasters that we have read and seen pictures of around our world. Lord, where there is such devastation, we pray for those that are responding to help. We pray that some of us have tangibly given our finances or goods to go to specific countries or states within our nation. Lord, we just pray that those may be used to the best purposes, that the people that need it most may receive those funds and those tangible things. We especially think, God, of those who are needing water today, because we know that water is so vital to sustaining life. We see so many pictures of people that are drinking unsafe water. We pray especially this day, O God, that those who are in danger may find safe drinking water, that they may help promote their life until further help can get there. Lord, we also pray for the nations around our world who are living in turmoil right now. We pray especially for the nation of Cameroon, where there's been ongoing fighting within the nation. We just pray for the event that's taking place tomorrow, that it may be a peaceful demonstration. Oh God, and we here in the United States don't have a full understanding of what it's like to live someplace where there's that type of violence taking place. But we pray for those nations, Lord, that where there is violence taking place. We also pray, oh God, for our nation's relationship with nations around the world. And we pray especially for the North Korea relationship today. And we just pray, oh God, that our relationship may be found to be a peaceful relationship, that something may be negotiated rather than having warfare declared against nation against nation, that we may put down our weapons, O God, as the prophet Isaiah talks about, that the Prince of Peace may come to reign and to rule our world. And Lord, we ask all of these prayers now in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do receive two different offerings, and this first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that supports the ongoing ministry and mission of the congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us. Use our hands and use our feet to share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 71 in the back section of the Bible. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" They could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor He told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they would invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of this reading of God's holy word. Let us pray together. Lord, as we've read and heard from this morning's scripture, that Jesus was an interesting dinner guest, not one to mince words. We might know some people like him in our own eating patterns. But Lord, we need to just not only look at what Jesus was doing, but what he was saying and what he was trying to teach the people. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do any of these phrases sound familiar? Take your hat off at the table. Put the napkin in your lap. Wait until everyone is served. Don't eat with your mouth full. Sit up straight. Keep your elbows off the table. If you've finished eating, please ask to be excused from the table. These are just a few of the table manners most of us were taught when we were young, and ones we probably have repeated to our children and perhaps even our grandchildren over the years. Almost all of us like to eat, and even Jesus is recorded as sitting down with friends and strangers numerous times to break bread and chew the fat. He eats with tax collectors and religious leaders. He feeds a multitude with only a few small loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He sends out his messengers, telling them to preach and heal and eat whatever anybody offers them. Frequently, when Jesus was at a meal, the meal became a teachable moment for him, which is happening in this morning's scripture. In the first verse of Luke chapter 14, we learn that having Jesus to dinner is an opportunity for the religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, to watch Jesus closely. They've been doing this since their last dinner, recorded in chapter 11 of Luke, where Jesus showed up without having properly or ceremoniously bathed first. And then he read them the riot act about what he considered their hypocrisy. Besides hypocrites, Jesus called them fools, grave diggers, murderers, and exploiters of the poor. Not the best way to win friends and influence people. So why would they want to eat with Jesus again? The meal in today's text was not just any meal. It was a Sabbath dinner. And the host wasn't just any old Pharisee, but a leader of the Pharisees, probably one of the primary leaders, the primary teachers. We might expect Jesus to be on his best behavior at such an important setting. But as Jesus often did, was he didn't fit into the mold that we might expect him to. Not a chance did he, do that and be the perfect dinner guest. He heals a man just before dinner starts, going against the way the Pharisees interpreted the commandment to not work on the Sabbath. Then, as the guests are finding their seats, he offers them some advice. In the first century, people reclined at dinner tables, dinner parties. The food was served on very low tables, and the guests leaned back with their left elbow on a dining couch. And if you think about a low bench that with one inclined end, with throw pillows on it to make it more comfortable. So they're leaning back on their left elbow and they eat with their right hand. The tables were usually arranged in the shape of a U. And the best seats were the ones closest to the center, because there the people could see and hear better than the people on the outside, on the ends. If the dining room would not hold all the guests, the host might set up tables and spaces just outside the room. Those guests could see, but they could not be part of the conversation between the people at the center of the table. Just imagine the surprise when Jesus said to those reclining at the table, should arise from their most privileged seats and trade seats with the persons assigned to the lesser places. The leaders think he's kidding, of course. But Jesus thinks that fighting over the best seat, like fighting over who's the best disciple, or fighting over money or power in any form, is foolish. In Jesus' view, God's kingdom is a place where a sick, penniless beggar, when he dies, gets the spot right next to Abraham in the big cookout in heaven. Nothing he did here on earth mattered. In Jesus' view, the only way to be great is to be a servant. In his vision of the kingdom, the master serves dinner to the slaves rather than the other way around. If the last will be first and the first will be last, then status and status markers have all disappeared. But that wasn't how life was. Reality continued to differ from the view Jesus had for the world. Years later, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, not just about their day-to-day dining manners, but how they should behave in worship and when they shared the Lord's Supper. In chapter 11 of his first letter, Paul writes these words, "When you meet together as a group, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for as you each go ahead with your own meal, so that some are hungry while others get drunk. Don't you have your own homes in which to eat and drink? Or would you rather despise the church of God and put to shame the people who are in need? Instead, my friends, when you gather together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. And if any of you are hungry, you should eat at home, so that you will not come under God's judgment as you meet together." Things had not changed much between the years of Jesus' earthly ministry and the years of the early church. Have things changed much since the early church to today? We're supposed to be a status-free group, with all of us as equal brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm not so sure that we are. We tend to group ourselves by income, education, or other status markers. We may not fight over what seat we sit at during a church potluck lunch, but we often don't choose to sit with people who are not a lot like us. After the combined worship service in 2 weeks, as I announced earlier, we're going to have lunch together with members of Casa de Fe. Where will folks sit? Based on prior similar events, the majority of each congregation will probably cluster around their own members, living out the adage, birds of a feather flock together. Why have a combined meal if we segregate ourselves? True, it would require many of us to move outside our usual insulating comfort zone to seek out someone we don't know and then to sit down and eat together. But just imagine what we might learn and share by conversing with someone whom we don't know, who has had a different life experiences, who has the same Christian beliefs, but may practice them in different ways. The status markers that tend to separate us in society would not be important as we sit down together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Returning to today's text, having challenged the guests on their choice of seating places, Jesus then turns his focus on his host. The guests of this dinner seem to have been fellow Pharisees or lawyers, well-educated, friends and peers, and associates of the leader host. Don't invite this lot to your parties, says Jesus, because they'll just invite you back. That'll be your reward. Instead, invite the poor, the disabled, and the homeless, and your return invitation will come from God at God's welcome table in the future. Jesus, again, is not kidding. The host may have thought he was, but Jesus is dead serious. He wants his followers to invite the poor and those whom society has labeled as different or undesirable to their tables. The phrase, don't invite your friends and family or your brothers and family members, is a hyperbole. He doesn't mean never, but he does mean that we also should be hosting others in addition to our family and our friends. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing as followers of Jesus? Are we following the teachings he offers in this scripture text today? If we choose to sit and eat only with our friends and family, with those already like us and already connected to us, as the Corinthians seem to have been doing, we're not eating as Jesus ate. If we hurriedly gobble up all the delicious morsels and leave only the remnants for those less fortunate, we really are not following the teachings of Jesus. If we want our fellowship meals and our communion meals to truly represent Jesus' habits, then we'll eat with the poor, we'll drink with those whom society has labeled as disabled or separate or been separated from the normal, and we'll even invite our enemies to dine with us. For everyone is welcome when Jesus is the host. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we learn several things from this text from Luke's gospel, mostly about how Jesus patterned his behavior around mealtime, sometimes shattering the societal norms, but reaching out and saying that we need to sometimes look beyond ourselves. We need to look at those that are not being included and reach out to them. Lord, we thank you for the examples and the teachings we have from Jesus. We pray that as his followers today, that we may pattern our lives after his instructions and his behavior. We know, Lord, that we are not Jesus and we don't have the insight that he does. We pray that the Bible has the lessons that we need, and we pray that we may live those lessons out by reaching beyond what society calls acceptable, to reach out to those whom society says are not acceptable, and to welcome them into our fellowship. Welcome them into our hearts and into our homes here at this church, to say that Jesus cares about you, and we care about you too. Lord, help us to be more faithful, more active in our discipleship and in following Jesus. We ask this all in his name. Amen.
Previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and unity of all people, and to work as the faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contributed of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in his name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the communion table today, and as the host, he invites each one with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I came to earth, lived among you, taught, healed, ultimately dying and paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven and preparing a place for each of you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to the table. Even though we have not earned a seat, Jesus invites all believers. And right now, let's pray together as we prepare for our hearts for communion. Lord, we gather here today knowing that there's not a guaranteed seat here because of our behavior or our thoughts. And Lord, in these moments, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of, that we have committed, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, prepare us now to eat and drink with you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In my sermon this morning, I mentioned two different meals that Jesus had while he was alive here on earth, and where the Pharisees were there watching him. And Jesus knew that as they continued to watch him, that time was growing short. And the Passover was coming. A time of celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus wanted to eat that Passover meal with his disciples. And he had them make the arrangements and prepare that meal. And at that meal in an upper room, which ended up being the last night that Jesus was alive, Jesus took bread from the table, which was part of the meal, and gave thanks to God for the bread, and began breaking it and telling his disciples, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. He said, whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken that we might be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal in that upper room continued, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God for the cup, he began passing it among his disciples and saying that this cup represents a new covenant or a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. And as often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for each one of us, paying the price for our sins. Lord, we pray that we may live lives that are worthy of that sacrifice. Lord, we just pray now that all that we do may be a reflection of our love for you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
God of all peoples, we came together from many different places and backgrounds. We have been fed together through your word and at your table, a table that is open to all who love you. We thank you for being such a generous and gracious host, and we have been strengthened by this time together. When we leave this place, open our eyes that we may see those who are physically and spiritually hungry and in need. Help us to graciously share the hospitality and the blessings we have been so freely given. Help us to be strong until we come together again as a family around your table. Amen.